Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Jane and I last weekend were down in Taunton with the church down there. We had a great time and they send their love and their greetings from the sunny southwest. And they're doing great down there and they've just got a building right in the centre of town. And the great thing about this building is it's not big enough to have their Sunday meetings in. And the whole purpose of this building is not to just have a church building in the middle of town, but it's to have what they've called a mission centre right in the middle of town where they can reach out into the centre of town in the community. So they are pleased that they can't have Sunday meetings there. I think it's a great idea they can't have Sunday meetings there. Otherwise, as a church, they could easily just get into a way of thinking that now we've got a building, we can just relax a little bit, it's nice, and we can meet there on Sundays, and just kind of just go into neutral, if you like, and coast along for a bit. Whereas they purposely were looking for a building that wasn't big enough so that they could continue this whole way of thinking that we're here not for ourselves, but for the community, for the town. And so when they opened their building a couple of months ago, they launched 9 kind of ministries, if you like, to reach out into the town, into the community. So they're doing great down there and seeing some really good stuff happen. So they're all going to be with us at Faith Camp as well, and we're going to have a great time with them. Okay, if you want to get your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to start there. Both Jane and myself are going to share a bit this morning. And some of it is kind of just reminding us of what God has been saying and doing amongst us, but also it's to kind of move us on further with what God is saying. So there's a couple of things I'm going to share at the beginning that some of you might have heard a little bit before, but I believe it's important that we really understand what God is doing and what's happening, what we're part of, and how God is wanting to express the life that we have together. What is God doing in the church generally? What is the Holy Spirit doing today? And we don't want to know what the Holy Spirit has been doing yesterday. We want to know what he's doing today. So that as a church, as part of his bigger purposes for the church, we know how to move with God and how our lives then need to be adjusted, or how they need to change, or how they need to adapt or whatever around what God is doing and what he's saying. Okay, so we're going to look in 2 Kings 2 here for a minute. A few verses and then kind of move on from there. Verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the city of Jericho. And some of the men come to Elisha, verse 19. And they say, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see. But the water is bad and the land is unproductive." Then Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt in it, saying, "This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." Now these guys have got a problem. The city is in despair. There's a desperation because the water, the river that was there to bring water to irrigate the land, it was bad. There was some disease within the water, and therefore the land was unproductive. The men of the city didn't know what to do, so they come to Elisha because they know that somehow if we go to this man who is a man of God, there will be a result, there'll be a resolution. Something will change if we can just get to this man and get him involved in the desperate situation that is going on. And so they come to him and they say, they explain the situation. The town looks great, it's well situated. We're on the edge of a river, things are looking good, but the water is bad, therefore the land is unproductive. And to parallel that with today, with our situation in society, many of our towns and cities over the last 15, 20 years have had a lot of money spent on them. Town centres, city centres have been rejuvenated and had tens, if not hundreds of millions or more pounds spent on them to improve the quality of the living spaces, the new housing developments, the town centres with the shopping malls, the business centres that have been created, improving the road systems and the look of our towns and the communities. A lot of money has been spent. And in a lot of places, we could look round and say that our towns and our cities look well situated on the outside. New buildings, new facilities, new sports facilities, loads of things that have been done to so-called improve the quality of community life, of our society. But yet, right at the heart of that, if people's lives aren't being changed, then you can have things looking great on the outside, but there can be an underlying problem, underlying issues. And in this story here, they're saying the town looks great, the city looks well situated, but the land is unproductive because the water is bad. Now, how many of you know that God sees things from an eternal perspective? He always looks from his perspective and wants to outwork his eternal purposes into a very natural world. And for us, as we want to have God's perspective, how he sees men and women's lives, our lives, is when we know God, then there's something redemptive that has taken place in us. We've become aligned with him. We've been brought into relationship with him. Therefore, our lives have been changed in some way. We've had a heart change, a heart transplant. The old heart has gone out and been gotten rid of, and God has placed a new heart within us, his heart, his nature. But when people don't know God, as far as God's concerned, their hearts are not right with him. Therefore, it's a parallel with this story. People's hearts are bad. Therefore, their lives are unproductive in terms of God's eternal purposes. Okay? Now, what I'm saying this morning is not that we go around saying to people, you've got a bad heart, you've got a bad life, you've got a bad this, that, and the other. The church has done too much of that in society, telling everybody what we think they've done wrong and how they should do it better. Jesus didn't come along and tell everybody what they're doing wrong. He came along and said, I've come to give you a kingdom, and it's an awesome kingdom, and you can be part of it. And then he explained what kingdom living was like, what it was like to be part of this kingdom, and what people could receive. But he also said, in order to have everything that I want to give you, then there's some things you need to do. And Jesus does confront with the need to repent and get right with God and deal with sin, so that you can enter into the fullness of life that he wants for every person. And so in this story, Elisha's saying here, the people are saying, look, the land is bad, the water is bad, therefore the land is unproductive. Now God looks at our towns and cities and in one sense sees them as unproductive for his kingdom purposes because of the state of people's lives. And so we might look good on the outside, but underneath there are some inherent issues and problems going on in society. So what does Elisha do? Elisha's answer to the despair was, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. Now here, the new bowl represents the church, okay? Now God has been working in this past generation of time, the last 40 years or so, from the end of the 60s through to the kind of the last few years. And God has been bringing the church alive. Much of the church was dead. It was only denominations 30, 40 years ago, and there wasn't a lot of the Holy Spirit involved in what was going on. And in the last 40 years, the church has come alive in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit. A lot of truth from the Word has been restored to the church. There's a lot of resources available to the church, teaching resources, conferences, Christian TV, all of that stuff, without making any comments on any of that lot. There's so much stuff around now to resource Christians with the truth and with teaching to equip us to live more effectively as Christians and all of that. And that has been key for the church to get to the point where it is now. The church has had to be raised from the dead, as it were, and brought alive to the things of God so that the church is ready for the next generation of time that we're just at the beginning of now. And so at the beginning of this new generation of time, the church is not here now just to feed itself on what it has fed itself on for the last 40 years. Now this next generation of time is for the church to take the life that we have received and to now turn that out and tip it outwards into society. And so this new bowl, in one sense, is what God has been doing over the last 40 years. He's been sorting the church out, cleaning it up, getting it ready, and putting salt, putting flavor in the church so that it's ready for him to do something with. Now, in God's wisdom, he's saying the church is ready now to really throw it into society, okay, to have the impact that he wants it to have. You could say, on the whole, that what has happened in this past generation of time has not actually had an impact on the nation or changed the nation. You could say it's changed the church and brought the church alive, but now in God's wisdom, he's saying now it's time for that life that the church has to now be focused where there isn't the life, okay? And so what did Elisha do? He took this bowl with the salt in it. And you know that salt does a number of things. When you put salt on food, it brings out the flavor. Salt preserves. In Bible times, they would have rooms or buildings that would have blocks of salt in, and they would put food amongst the blocks of salt because they would create a salty atmosphere, okay, that they would put food in to preserve the food and to give it longer life, okay, than just put a little bit of salt on your chips or whatever. They would provide a salty environment and put the food in there to preserve it. And so this guy takes the bowl with the salt in it, goes over to the river. And what does he do? He doesn't throw the bowl in there with the salt. He throws the salt into the water. What's God saying through that? Now, God doesn't want to throw the structure and the form of church into society. Most of the time when we talk about church, most of us would think Sunday morning meeting. This is what the world would think about. They probably think, well, church, that's on a Sunday morning. Or they think church, it's a form, it's a structure, it's a religion. It's something you're into or you're not into. It's either something for you if you're that kind of person, or it's not for you if you're not that kind of person. So people very much think of church as a form or a structure. And so God doesn't want to throw the structure and the form of church into something. He wants to throw life in there. And the salt represents the life that is in the church. And so Elisha went over to the river with the bowl and he tipped the salt into the water. Now, how many of you know that God can do a lot with a little? So here's a river. Here's a tiny bit of salt. Even if it was a bowl that kind of size and it was full of salt, you know, if you compare that to a river, that salt's not really going to do a lot. But yet when God gets something in his hands, he can do something and multiply and have a miraculous effect on something when he is involved with it. And so in one sense, we are the ones who carry the life. And what God is doing with the church in general now is he wants to take it to the river of life. He wants to take it to the river of society or to where the issues of life are going on. And he wants to tip the life that we have. He wants to tip us as the people with the life. Not the form and structure of church, okay, but he wants to tip us as the people with the life into the waters of society, into the issues of life. And we've heard about a number of those this morning that our guests have represented and the work that they're all doing, that he's pouring people with life into those situations, not just the form and the structure of something. And then what happens? He tips this in and the water is made whole. Now, we can look at society and say, man, there are so many issues out there and they are so massive and so vast. How can we, just as a small number of people, have any influence whatsoever? Well, that's where God comes in. Because in and of ourselves, we can't have a lot of impact in our own effort. We can get out and do some good stuff. But unless God is at the center of that and the heart of that, then we can do good stuff like anybody can out there. There are loads of great good deeds going on out there. But the difference between the church coming to society and just somebody with a good idea is the power of God. And so as the church, as believers, we're coming with the power of God into situations, with the wisdom of God, with the word of God into situations. And how many of you know that the word, one word from God can set somebody free, can change their whole life around. And so in this situation here, he tips the salt in, the water is made whole. Never again, he prophesies, will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day. Let's just have a quick look at Isaiah 42. So in God's wisdom, in this generation of time, the church is not here for itself anymore. The church is now here to be in society. When Jesus came, he didn't come to set up a subculture of Christianity. He didn't come to set up an underworld of Christianity. He actually came to set up a kingdom on earth, but he came to set it up where the people are. He said himself, didn't he, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is not over there or over here. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The message he came with was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here for you. You don't have to go over there. You don't have to go over here. It's right now amongst you. And so we're not living a life anymore as Christians, as the church over here in our own little world, saying to the world, come over here and join us. Come and join our Christian bubble. Come and join our Christian subculture. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's wanting to burst that kind of thinking and mentality. Because it's like, well, that might have been okay for a little while in this generation of time where I'm restoring the church and bringing it alive and getting the church on track and getting it ready for what it needs to do to see an impact in a nation and other nations and continents of the world. But now that's happened, you can't stay here now. It's time I'm moving you into the promised land, across the Jordan or whatever, into this place where you're now going to impact every sphere of society with the life and the power that you've had there, but now bringing it into here. And so as we move with God, we need to understand how the Holy Spirit is working so that we adapt and change to fit in with God, what God's doing, not us trying to fit God into doing something the way he has already done it and finished with over here in terms of how he's moving, okay? So the Holy Spirit's poured out in any season or generation of time to do something specific. So let's have a look at Isaiah 42. We looked at this a few weeks ago, but just really felt during the week we need to go over this again, but take a step on from where we have been in terms of what God was saying. Verse 6 onwards of Isaiah chapter 42. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And we've heard again a number of those situations this morning from those that we've been able to give financially to. And I know a number of people in the church are involved in many of those ministries and charities already. Anyway, but then in verse 8, it says, I'm the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. God's jealous, isn't he, about his own name. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So he encourages us at the beginning. He says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Okay, so he's called us as a righteous people. He's called us to be in right standing with him. Okay, so he calls us in righteousness. But then what does he say? He says, then I take hold of your hand because I'm going to lead you into many situations of life where I am already there, but I want to lead you into those places so that you're my hands and my feet and my mouthpiece in the situations where I already am. But I want to lead you into those things to bring my life and the things that he says here to set people free, okay? But what does he say? I take hold of your hand, I lead you and guide you. Then he says here, to keep you and to make you. Now the word keep there means to set apart, okay, for a specific purpose. And so he says, I'm taking hold of your hand because I've kept you or set you apart for a specific purpose, and I will make you. The word there means to cause. I will cause you, okay? Now, that doesn't mean he blackmails us. What he means is, in the process of being led by me in righteousness, because you need to be a righteous people in order to see righteousness come into what is unrighteous. But not with an arrogance or with a self-righteousness, but with the righteousness of who I am in you. I'm leading you by the hand, and I've set you apart to cause you. Now, the word cause there is more to kind of channel, to funnel, to, you know, when you've got a wide stretch of water and then it goes into a narrow stretch, it's like there's an acceleration of, there's a funneling effect, and it accelerates the speed of the water through a narrow kind of channel. And that's what the word means there, to cause, to accelerate, to push through something at a faster rate. Is that all right? Okay, and so he's saying here, I've set you apart to push you, to cause you, to accelerate you through into something, to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, the word covenant means I will never ever leave you and I'll never ever forsake you. Now, God has made covenant with you and me, and he's made a promise that I'll never ever leave you and never ever forsake you. God is the only person that has never said anything negative about you. That's cool, isn't it? Somebody else has said something negative about you, all right? As in being critical, judgmental in some way. Every one of us have had people say, I don't mean they've noticed something that's not quite right and they want to have a word with us to help us. I mean, people have been negative, critical, whatever, judgmental. All of us have had that towards us. And if we're honest, every one of us has done that towards other people, right? Covenant says, I will never, ever leave you and I will never, ever forsake you. And part of that means I'm never going to speak bad of you. I'm never going to, you know, it's like God's heart is incredible towards us. I mean, he's perfect and he would have all the right, wouldn't he, to say stuff about us, but yet he doesn't. What does he do? Yeah, I know he rebukes us at times to keep us on track and everything. But what does God do most of the time with you? I don't know about it, but he encourages you. He lifts you. Amen. He gets your eyes off yourself or off something else or whatever and helps you to look at who he is. And man, it lifts you, doesn't it? It lifts your spirit. It lifts you, you know, because you're like, wow, God, you think I'm amazing. Because most of the time we look at ourselves and think we're rubbish or we're not amazing. Whereas God looks at you and says, I think you're amazing. I've done a brilliant job. Because God looks at your life and sees what he's done. He looks at his workmanship at work in you and he says, wow, what an incredible image that you are of me. So what does he do? He then encourages us to help us see who we are in him so that we then live in the good of the workmanship that he's done in our lives. All right, so that's why most of the time he's like, come on, guys. He's like, look at what the Bible says. Look at what my word says about you. Look at who you are in me. Look at who I am in you. It's an incredible thing I've done. Look how incredible I am in you. You know, because he wants to encourage us to live in the good of the workmanship that he's done in us, not what we think still needs to happen. All right. And so covenant is I'll never, ever leave you, never, ever forsake you. Now, what's that got to do with where we're at? Well, God spoke to us a few months ago and said, will we as a church covenant with our town? Will we make covenant with the people who live in our town, whether saved or not saved? Because covenant says, I'm gonna serve you, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to just be there for you, whether no matter how you treat me, no matter what you say to me, whatever you do to me, I'm still going to come towards you to give, to love, to serve, to lay down my life. Because that's covenant as far as God's concerned towards us. Sometimes we blow it, but he doesn't turn around and kick us, reject us, rebuke us and tell us, well, get lost, you're no good. Sometimes we have a bit of a Barney at God and we can get a bit upset at times, oh, you know, whatever. And God doesn't get ruffled on his throne and all of that. He just sits, leans back, probably puts his arm sits there and we'll just let him have a moment and then we'll have a little word with him and all of that, you know, because they're just having a bit of a moment. And, you know, God's bigger than all of that, isn't he? And I think he wants us to be bigger than all of that as well. We're not here to have a soapbox to tell society everything that's wrong with it. The world knows there's so much going on, but they don't know what to do with what is going on. So God has called us lot. I mean, you know, look around the room. Go into most churches and look around the churches. In the natural, we don't look like we're going to be the people that are going to change the planet. Just turn to somebody next and say, you're a planet shaker. Excellent. But God is saying, he's spoken to us about making covenant with our town, okay? And Love Horsham is an expression of that covenant. As we're reaching out through in loads of different ways, whether it's our own personal lives, one-to-one with people, or whether it's things that are a bit more organized in terms of ministries, outreach things that we do more collectively or in teams or in groups or whatever's going on. It's to express God's heart of love to society or in society, into people's lives. And so this morning is not about it is about affirming the covenant, but it's about how do we move forward more? How do we understand what that looks like and what that means, okay? So he says, I'll keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. There are tangible things happening in many, many people's lives and they don't know how to get out. Many of us have been in those kind of situations and now you're not in those things. God has brought you out of them somehow. Some of you, it happened in a moment where you just were set free in a moment. Others, it seems to be a bit of a walk through to see them come right out into freedom and into a whole new way of living, you know. And we're not here to decide how fast or slow something should happen in people's lives. But we're here basically to say, God, okay, if this is what you're doing in this generation of time now, that you're saying to the church to make covenant with the town, or any church anywhere to make covenant with their town, to say that we're not here just for ourselves and our own thing now. We're here to live our lives, to lay our lives down for those that don't know you yet. And that you set us apart for that. You're shaping and causing us, making us to be those people. Then, Father, come and interrupt my life. Come and interrupt my schedule. Come and interrupt what's going on if it's not lining up with what you're saying to us as a church in our situation. Then he says, and why is he saying this? Because he's jealous for his name. But also he says here, former things have taken place. We've had one generation of time and what God was doing in the church. But he's saying former things have taken place. But what's he saying? But new things I now declare. Now, I don't know what you think those new things are that he declares. If we just think they're going to be prophetic words, so the church can get excited and say, oh, hallelujah, one day all these prophetic words are going to be fulfilled, then you're going to get disappointed and disillusioned. Because God is speaking prophetically, his prophetic word, in one sense, or one of them, to the church. It's not just all these things I'm going to do and it's a lovely big picture, hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's just enjoy this prophetic word and one day, we're going to see it outworked. God's prophetic word to the church these days is, look, all of that, those former things where you have a great time and in and of itself, they're over. Now the prophetic word is, now it's time to get your hands and feet dirty, wet, your lives interrupted, your schedule's interrupted, your church life has got to change and it's got to be more geared around people that don't know me, people that are not part of what you're part of yet. All of this kind of stuff. And there's a little bit of this prodding stick, if you like, from the Holy Spirit, where it's causing a bit of discomfort in the church to break us out of some of the mentalities that are ingrained in us without even realizing it, because many have grown up in church and what church is about and what church life is like and what it means to do this, that and the other in the life of the church. And God's coming along and prodding that and bursting some of it and kind of realigning some of that, repositioning some of that and redescribing what the Christian life is all about. That's a challenge for every one of us in the room, you know. He is redescribing and redefining how the Christian life has got to be expressed. Now, we know all of this stuff is right, but the challenge is doing it, living it. And, well, we are in one level, we are moving forward in it, but it's that constant encouragement from God to move further and more into that, okay? And so he's saying, former things have taken place, new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I'm announcing them to you. If we understand what God is doing, then it's much easier to flow with it. If we can get our heads round and understand what is the Holy Spirit doing, then it's so much easier to then go, right, I understand that now, right. So that is important. Because if we put value on the same things that we've put value on, and the things that have been really important in this generation of time that God has done to wake the church up, if we don't understand that God is now placing value and importance on other things and how the church needs to move, then we'll start thinking that, oh, well, we don't value those things anymore, or they're not important, or what's happened to that because we don't do that in the same way as we used to. Or some of the things that God is valuing or making important now have not been as important or valuable here. Therefore, if God is highlighting things here, but we don't understand he's highlighting things here, then we get a bit upset because church isn't what we thought it should be or want it to be. And the church isn't here for what we think or what we want it to be. We're here to serve God's purposes on the earth. Amen. And so God is getting rid of this evangelistic mindset of we just do some evangelism, put an evangelistic hat on, and we go and do some evangelism, whatever we think that is, and then we run back into the safety of our home or our church building, and we've got away with it, and everybody's still in the church, and we didn't lose anybody on the little mission trip. You know, God is changing the mindset and the thinking of church, And he's saying, now I'm submerging the church into society. He's throwing the salt, the life, into the river. Now the church might not look much in comparison to the scale of what needs to happen, but yet when God's got hold of it, he can transform the whole thing. Amen. Jane, do you want to come up? Let's welcome Jane, so she's going to share for a few minutes.
Okay, just a couple of minutes. Got a very practical illustration of what Clive has been talking about. At the end of last year, Clive and I just have a little giggle to ourselves every now and then when more and more people around us are have allotments, right, and grow vegetables. And we came to the conclusion that we must be getting older because the friends that we mix with, the people we hang out with, are all have allotments. And we just thought it was like a, you know, an older person's thing, or like, you know, the two Ronnies sitting on the fence chewing their bit of grass. It's like had that image. And then, you know, God's sense of humour is towards the end of last year, God said to me, we've got a huge garden, okay? And God said to me, I want you to dig up the end of your garden and have an allotment. And I'm like, are you serious? God, are you serious? You really mean this? And I just let it, you know, I just ignored it. And ignored it. And then the beginning of this year, God spoke to me again. And I don't know how long our garden is, but we have an apple tree probably two-thirds of the way down, a big one. And behind that is some more grass that was never used because the kids couldn't get around there, you know. And then beyond that were a load of shrubs, amazing shrubs that have been there a long time, and some fruit trees and a broken-down old shed that had things in that didn't never belong to us anyway. And God said, I want you to get rid of all of that. I want you to turn it into a vegetable plot. And so I knew God was speaking because I knew it wasn't me at all. I'm not a gardener. For me, it's enough to keep the household alive. I can't keep a house plant. And Clive cuts the grass a couple of times, you know, when it needs doing. And the rest of it just sort of, he hacks away twice a year and that's it. And the kids play on it. For me, the kids play on it and they're happy and then I'm happy. And so this is serious business. So anyway, we mentioned this to a few people that God had said this much to their amusement. And bless him, there's an old guy in the church called Adrian. Many of you may know him. And he loves digging. So he found out about this and he offered his help. So he came and this little old guy, 68 years old, pulled down. I mean, this is a serious shed. This isn't one of your little, you know, things from you know, your local store or whatever. This is a solid thing that's been there forever. And he pulled the whole thing down and he's uprooted beautiful bushes. And I'm like, well, I never look at them anyway because they're too far away from, you know, the end of the garden that we use. But, you know, some things that have been there for forever and they just look amazing. And God says, no, I want them to come out. And we also have other fruit trees down there. We had a huge cherry tree right in the corner that I'd never even noticed. It's got to come down. And the apple trees, we've got three apple trees, two of those are coming down, and they sap the you know, the water, the goodness from the ground for what I'm going to plant. And I've never eaten any of these apples anyway because they drop when we're away in the summer, so I see them on the tree and when I come back from camp and holiday they're all on the floor dead. So I've never eaten any of this stuff. It's never, you know, I've just never been into any of it all. And you know, God was talking to me. When he was talking to us about doing this, people said to me, you know, this is going to be really hard work. And I'm like, thanks, God. But actually, God's sort of showing me that, you know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago about a labor of love. God's shown me and given me sort of vision, if you like, of me planting the stuff that I actually am going to enjoy, that I'm actually going to, you know, eat. And, you know, it's going to be a blessing to me and I can eat healthily and I can feed my family and there's going to be so much I can feed you if you want it. And it's going to be a labour of love because I'm actually now getting excited about stuff that I can, you know, I will enjoy. I can partake of, if you like. But God was saying, I want you to remove everything and uproot. And some of these things have taken ages to actually uproot. They haven't wanted to come out. They may look fabulous. They may have been there forever. But God says, no, it's time. I want you to plant what I want you to plant. I want to harvest what I want to harvest. And for us, it's a very simple illustration, I like, if you like, of what God is doing in our hearts at the moment and in our lives individually, but also as Kingdom Faith, that some things may have been around a long time, we may have been doing things a certain way a long time, but actually God is saying something different, and it's time to change, and it's time to address the things that God wants to address. So for Kingdom Faith, this is a serious time for us. This, you know, this illustration just, just helps to you can just imagine it, the uprooting and the clearing of the ground to make way for what God wants to grow. So I was like, God, this is serious pruning. When I was looking at the hacking that was going on the end of our garden, I mean, these trees that I've never even enjoyed or whatever, it's like, man, when you see them laying on the ground, it's like, this is serious stuff. This is radical pruning. And it's like God was saying that, you know, the radical pruning that he wants to do, the radical pruning he wants to do in our lives and our churches and our ministries or whatever we're involved in that's not bearing what he wants to bear, that's not benefiting who he wants it to benefit, it's got to go. It's got to go, and we've got to be up for that. And just a couple of, a couple of scriptures in Matthew 9, you know, for Jesus, what he did wasn't a pain in the neck. What he did was a labor of love. People weren't a pain in the neck to him. He loved them. And, you know, in Matthew 9, verse 35, it's talking about Jesus traveling throughout the area, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and sickness. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields. And you know, for Jesus, it was a labor of love. The Lord, the Father, is in charge of the harvest. So we submit to the Lord of the harvest. And we say, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you need to change in my life, that I am bearing the fruit that you want to see? One more scripture, John 4. Verse 34. Jesus said, you know, and here it says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. But, you know, it says that my food, what feeds me is doing the will of God. And he goes on to say, do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. That's us. We've got all the goodness. We've got it all. We've been paid. We've got it all. Okay? And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. And for us, you know, the big questions are, God, what is not seeing people brought to eternal life? Do you want to put a stop to that and change what we're doing? Okay, Jesus nourished. We'll be nourished. I'm going to live off my fruit garden. I'm looking forward to it. Jesus lived off what he came to do, the harvest. We live off the harvest. We live for the harvest. It's hard work. But we're going to live off it. We're going to reap and see those lives come in. And I popped round to see JD and Janet a little while ago, and they said to me, oh, come and see our allotment. I was like, okay. So went to see their allotment, which is just outside their back garden around the corner. And, it's amazing. They were picking things off and giving it to me. It was like, this tastes amazing. And I got really excited because all it was were just rows of holes that they'd put in the ground, dropped a seed in, watered it, and it grew. I was like, I can do this. I can do this. This is exciting. All I got to do is put a hole in, drop a seed in, water it. I don't grow it. It grows itself. It's like, yes, I can do this. So I got really excited. So, you know, yeah, this, it's a labor of love. It's What does God want you to do, you're going to get excited about? He doesn't want it to be a burden. He doesn't want it to be hard work or a slog. A labor of love is because you want to do it. You love people. God's got something for you to do that you are going to love, and you are going to see through, and you're going to enjoy it. It said Jesus had the greatest joy. He was, you know, the most joyful person. He had the world on his shoulders, but he was the most joyful because he loved the people. He loved the harvest. So yeah, the challenge is a very real one. It's going to be hard work, but there's going to be amazing fruit. And just trusting God. That's our faith working through love, isn't it? If you put a seed in the ground, I don't stand and say, is it going to grow? Of course it's going to grow. Of course it's going to grow. And that's the faith working through love. Of course it's going to work. Amen.
That's great. Okay, just want to read something out of Hebrews 13. Then we're going to just pray together. Aaron Jane from the States, most of you know him, he was over a few weeks ago, and we spent a few days just together, and I asked him to come over specifically to just have a look at everything that we're doing. And he's responsible for certain things in the Dream Center in Los Angeles in terms of the life of what's happening there and all the outreach and everything they do and how that then connects into the life of the church and everything. And so we had 3 days of meetings with different ones of us in different ways, and he challenged us a lot. It was very encouraging, but also challenged us a lot in terms of our thinking, in terms of how we outwork things. And so there's a few fundamental questions that we are just talking, praying through, and thinking through at the moment in the leadership as to what that means for us and how we're going to move forward. But just to... So there's a whole kind of thing in process that's going on, and maybe next week on Sunday we'll share a bit more about that and what that means for us as a church. We just want to read the first few verses of Hebrews 13, and then we're going to pray and respond to this morning. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Now the word brotherly love there, the word there is fraternal. Now the word fraternal means to love without finding fault, okay? So the writer of Hebrews is saying here, keep on loving each other without finding fault, okay? Then he says, don't forget, or the word actually means that don't neglect to entertain strangers, or actually means don't neglect to be hospitable or to show hospitality to, okay, to people, because you don't know when you're entertaining angels. But the emphasis is more there on don't neglect to be full of hospitality, okay? Now, that's something we're going to talk about next week. But then he says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Now, a number of people in the church are involved in going into prisons, and there's some phenomenal things taking place at the moment in what's happening in the prisons. But also it says here, and remember those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Now, there's another thing in there. Now, a number of the people that we've given finances to this morning, the work that they're doing are with people that are forgotten, if you like, and people that are being mistreated. And I know from many of you guys in the church, I know people are getting involved in different areas of specific needs, if you like, or issues that are out there in society, because you've just got a real heart to reach out to work with a specific kind of need that there is in the community. And that is what's saying here. Remember those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So the word there means to identify with. The word identify there means to get alongside somebody and walk through with them whatever they're going through. And so that is another aspect of what God's saying in terms of covenant, to get alongside, to walk through, to identify with where somebody is at in their life, but how to walk through that with them and out the other side with them. Then it talks about marriage. We want to promote marriage and community. It talks about money and all of that. But then he says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. It re-emphasizes covenant there, okay? Now, linking all this together this morning, what is God reminding us and what is God saying in terms of how we move forward? He's saying, I want to pour your life into the life of others. You've made covenant with your town, but I want you to walk out that covenant by giving yourselves in relationship to others that don't yet know me. I want to clear the ground and make space. So what does that mean? He wants to clear the ground in our lives and make space for those that don't know him at this point. And there's going to be a harvest of lives through our lives, okay? But the amazing thing is it's not us that need to be in the vegetable patch. We're the gardeners of the vegetable patch, if you like. We're the gardeners of the harvest. And when you're the gardener of something, you do reap the benefit of what you're gardening. And what Jane said there, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who has sent me, the will of the Father. And so in one sense, there's going to be a feeding of your life and my life. I'll walk with God by doing the will of God and by actually giving and serving into other people's lives. There's something that you're going to receive, something that's going to grow in you that won't grow unless we do what God is saying. Sometimes we say, well, I need another preach, another teach to grow. That is one way of growing. But Jesus talked about my food, I grow, I move in the things of God by doing the will of the Father. And so God is challenging us and we'll maybe talk about some things next week. What does this mean for us as a church? To make space for what God is saying and doing. And I know there's a lot of space that's already been created and a lot of you guys are reaching out in different ways, okay? But just as a church, God is wanting to increase that effectiveness and that fruitfulness and how we maybe need to make some adjustments really as a church in our church life. And it's got to start with leadership, obviously, and that's partly why there's a real challenge to us and we're thinking and praying through some stuff and all of that at the moment. But we want to move as a church in relation to, because if we move how God wants us to, then that's where things are going to happen. Lives are going to be increasingly transformed. That's where we're going to see people coming right through, making disciples. And as part of that process, people are getting saved. That's where God's provision is in every aspect, financially and in all the different ways. So it's an exciting time. I know it's been a lot of word this morning, but it's an exciting time that we're going through, okay? But what it's leading to is even more exciting. So let's stand, shall we? And we're going to take a couple of moments just to respond this with Chad, if you want to come up, mate. And we're just going to take a few minutes just to respond to what God is saying. But I believe when I was praying earlier, I felt one of the things that God wanted us to respond to was simply saying to God, okay, Father, I want to make space, to use this term, in the vegetable patch of my life. There might be some things in our life as a church that look great, that are going well, that are nice to look at. There might be things in your life that you think, well, it's been there for years. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it and all of that. Certain maybe good lifestyle habits you've had and some of the things in our garden, they've not been dying. They've been full of life. And, you know, and on one level, it's like, well, why take that out? And partly because of God's saying, well, a tree takes everything for itself. But if you remove that tree, what can you plant in the ground that can have seen new life grow, that can take all of that water and life and energy that's in the ground, instead of taking that to itself, what can then that now make space for that can grow something completely fresh and new, but can multiply so much more? And, you know, there might just in our lives, I think the starting point this morning is partly to say, okay, Father, I want to make space afresh in my life. And so I ask you during this season of time that there might be some good things growing, but if that's not what you want to grow anymore, because you want to replant some things that are going to cause growth in a different way, that's going to cause fruitfulness in somebody else's life now, then God, uproot stuff that might be in me. That's been good for that season, but that's not the season we're in now. We're in another season now. So Father, do what you want to do so that you can make a way, or I'm making way in my own heart and life for what you want to plant and sow and grow through my life or through us as a church. So if you want to respond in any way this morning, I want us, by coming to the front, we're not having a ministry time as such, and I know we don't do a lot of come to the front stuff and everything. But in terms of just making an active response this morning, I believe it's important that we kind of say, okay, Father, I'm going to take some steps forward, as if to say, I want to move out of the ground I have been in, and I want to make one step into some new ground and make way for what you want to do in me and through us as a church together, in terms of what you want to do, part of us making covenant with our town, as part of loving Horsham, as part of loving the towns that we all might live in, the villages we might live in. It's making space for to say, God, uproot whatever you might want to uproot in me, so that you can plant things, or I can plant things in there, so that there's going to be fresh growth and fresh life in there. Not just for me, but for all those that you want to touch and affect through my life and through our life together. So if you know you want to respond, I want you just to quickly make your way to the front. We're then going to just pray together. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just firstly, thank him that he's been flavoring your life. Whether it's just, whether you've only been a Christian recently or whether you've been a Christian for many years, just thank him that he's flavored your life with him, that he's cleaned your life. You're like this new bowl, part of this new bowl that's clean and ready to go, and he's been salting you, flavoring you, putting his life in you. And just thank him that he's taking you to the river of society, as it were, the river of the issues of life. And just thank him that he's just pouring your life now. Thank him that saying, Father, I'm available for you to pour my life into the river of society, whatever those issues are, whatever you've already put on my heart and I'm already involved in. Father, I want to make greater space for you to work through me. If you're not sure what you've got in your heart to be involved with, at least just open your heart this morning and say, Father, thank you that you begin to show me where you want to pour my life into, those particular people or that particular area of life where there's a need or there's an issue that needs people to go in and love people, serve people, begin to minister to people. Just speak with him now and ask him to, firstly, you just make way in your heart. Father, I just make way in my life right now, like that vegetable patch at the end of the garden. Father, where there are things that have been just there for a long time and they've been good stuff and it's been great and I've enjoyed them and that's been right for one season. But Father, where things are growing in my life or things that are just there, they look great but they're not right for this season. Where I need to make space in my life now for the lives that you want to sow into my life and I want to sow into others. And Father, uproot stuff that just takes sap out of the ground that I've enjoyed and it's enabled me to grow to be where I am today. But now you want to focus that resource and that life and that energy from you. You want to focus that now on somebody else or something else that you want to put into the ground and see it grow and become what you want those people to become in you. Just thinking that he's making you the gardener now of the gardens of other people's lives. Thank him that as you do the will of the one who has sent Jesus, the one who has sent us, as he says in that Isaiah 42, as we do the will of the one who has sent us, then, man, we're going to be fulfilled. There's going to be something released in our lives in a greater way that won't get released unless we move in that direction with God. A greater dimension of love and compassion, grace, mercy, whatever it is, gets released when we are in those situations, when we make way for what God wants to do. There's something of God that is released when there's a need in front of us where something's got to happen because we can't meet it in our own efforts, in our own strength. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your Holy Spirit right now on every person responding this morning. Father, I thank you that you open up our eyes where they need to be opened. Let us hear where we need to hear from you. Just put in our hearts, if we haven't got it already, just a particular people group, certain aspect of reaching out, whatever it might be, Father. I thank you that you put in our hearts our work colleagues, our neighbours, those that you are wanting us to reach out to, Father, to love, to give, to build friendship with, to say I'm going to make covenant with and just give my life to their lives, to see them come right through, no matter how they treat me across the garden fence, whether they've been upset with me or they're just a bit of a wind up themselves. I just lay all that down right now. And Father, I thank you for the grace to reach my neighbour or my work colleague, my mate at school, whoever it is, or the people in that part of town where there's a particular issue or need, or where certain things have been identified around the town and you've put that in my heart. Father, I just want to give myself to that field. I want to give myself to that field where you want to grow a harvest and see a fruitfulness take place. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God has called every one of us to be involved in something transformational. It's great to be involved in a ministry within the life of the body, as in maybe on the worship team or hosting and greeting or car parking or stewarding or working in the hub or being on the tech team or whatever it might be. But also, God wants every one of us to be involved in something transformational that sees somebody else's life transformed. It's part of the DNA of God in your life. It's part of the heart of God in your life and my life that we're to be involved in something that gives away what we've received, something that reproduces what we've received. Father, I thank you for fresh grace this morning. Father, I thank you that as a leadership, we're just praying and talking and thinking through a number of things as we just bring things next Sunday, as we just walk through a bit of a process at the moment. What does this really look like for us as a church? Father, there are thousands of people we're reaching out to, as we know from the various things over the last couple of months, the thousands of unsaved people that have come to various things that we've been doing through fun days and other things we're doing in the community. There are thousands and thousands of people that we know that we've got contact with that we are reaching out to and serving. And there, in one sense, Father, there's like a ready harvest there of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. Father, we don't want to live in a dream of one day. Father, you say the harvest is ready now. Today's the day. So, Father, we thank you that you brought us into the today of the harvest. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every person here today. Father, I just appreciate every life, their heart, desire and attitude to know you, to serve you, to want to be fruitful. Father, I know every person in here wants to be fruitful, to bless you, to honour you. There probably isn't a person in the room that could say, oh, I don't give a stuff, I don't want to be fruitful for God. Father, you see every one of our hearts. I think many people are just desperate, Father. I long to see more happen through my life. Father, I thank you that you see the desire in the place. And Father, I just ask you that in these coming days, you would help us to line up where we've put any obstacles in your way. Father, sometimes it's not that we need more of the Holy Spirit to move, it's just that we need to move some obstacles out of the way that hinders you from moving, so that you're just released to move. So Father, I thank you that you show us in these coming days obstacles that need to be removed, where maybe some of the way we think or we're organized or the way we just do stuff, they're just obstacles. Father, show us those things so we can get them out of the way, remove them, so that highway really is trouble free in that sense, for you, the Holy Spirit, just to move in the way that you've purposed him to move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Just thank him that your life is becoming a fruitful harvest field. That your life is becoming a fruitful harvest field. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's really thank and praise him, shall we? Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.